you know, commands of, how to live and how to please God, and we have those things, and they're there. And we also have this large set of traditions, kind of maybe like things that through culture and the filter of time and all these types of things, there are certain expectations of someone who calls himself a Christian that maybe you can't quite pinpoint in Scripture where it says that that's the way you should be. But it's just kind of come to be maybe tradition, culture, those kind of things. And those are areas that maybe we would call gray areas. They're areas that of our life that Scripture doesn't specifically say maybe something about as far as do or don't, but maybe the church does, or your parents do, or you know, somebody in your life does say something about that, and that can be very confusing. And so I am going to attempt, and we started last week, to just try to talk about what in the world is the clear teaching of Scripture about how you and I should govern our lives, how we should live in with this stuff, okay? Because let's be honest, so many people today have walked away from the church. They have walked away from, you know, whatever, their faith in some ways. And maybe they felt like there was this huge burden of rules and do's and don'ts and these types of things. And for them, it felt like, it didn't feel like freedom. It felt like, you know, chains, or it felt like imprisoned. And maybe that's their version of Christianity. And so there's a lot of confusion today, I think, about how we really can live and are to live as Christians. And I have to make a confession to you. You know, my background, I grew up in church ever since I can remember. I went to church. You know, my mom brought me, and it's just, you know, I was taught from little kid just all the ways and that we do church and everything like that. And I want to be honest with you, this has been an eye-opener for me. Studying this text from 1 Corinthians chapter 8 has been challenging for me and an eye-opener for me. And I want to explain what I mean by that. Last week we talked about our freedom in Christ. And one of the verses we looked at was Galatians 5:1 that says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And it's kind of interesting when we begin to talk about what that means. And he kind of caps off the end of that chapter, and he says, "You, my brothers," this is verse 13 and 14, "were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law, and basically he means everything, you know, in the Old Testament summarized by the Jewish law, is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And we said, you know, looked at some aspects of what Christian freedom is and what Christian freedom is not, in an attempt to try to get a handle on this. And just to review, we said that Christian freedom is basically a freedom from having to keep Jewish ceremonial law, the whole body of work of the Jewish traditions and ceremonies and all these types of things. We don't have to do that. We are free from that, and that's the burden that Paul was talking about. We are free from having sin as our master. We are free from the penalty of sin, which Romans 3:23 says is death. And we can go on and list all kinds of stuff there. What Christian freedom is not, according to this text, is it is not a freedom to indulge in sin. It's not a freedom to cause other believers to stumble in their young faith. And so we come to 1 Corinthians 8:9, where he says, "Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak." I don't know if you were here last week. We definitely got in depth with this, and tonight, obviously, we're moving on. But I just want to be honest with you. I am really struck by this passages of Scripture. I don't know if you've thought about it. I don't know if you've been meditating on it a little bit and just thinking about it. But man, I realize so much of church today can be misunderstood as a huge list of this is what a Christian looks like, sounds like, you know, everything. And if you don't, if you're not that, then you're just not a believer. You're not godly, or you're not, you don't love God. I grew up that, you know, if I saw someone drinking, oh man, they must not be serious about Jesus. If I saw someone smoking, you know, they must not be serious. They must not love Jesus. You know, on and on it goes. And you, I don't know what background you come from, but there's just a lot of stuff. Even like, you know, from jewelry and makeup and you know, feelings about that to, you know, movies and music and just a whole ton of things. And it I had to stop and go, wait a minute. Paul says essentially here that I'm free because of what Christ has done in my life. And yeah, I mean, we obviously God's moral code is there for our own benefit. And we are not free to live however we want to live. Don't misunderstand that. But I was struck at how much we tack on to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And say, if you do this or you don't do that, and this thing, another thing, well, I'm going to make a judgment about your faith. And that has kind of convicted me this week. And that, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about and where I'm coming from there. But what I want to talk to you tonight is this topic of freedom and responsibility. Little quote there from Austin Powers. No, man, freedom didn't fail. Right now we've got freedom and responsibility, and it's a very groovy time. That's from the end of Austin Powers, the first Austin Powers movie. And it's kind of funny because there is some interesting truth in that in light of what we're going to talk about tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 1, and I'm going to be moving real quick tonight and just try to open the Word and make a few points to you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks about this weird subject to us, something that is a little difficult for us to understand. He has actually been written a letter by these Christians in this church, and they're asking him some questions. And one of the questions they ask him is it all right? I mean, is it really all right for us to eat meat that's been sacrificed to the idols, these pagan idols in Corinth? And, you know, that sounds kind of weird, but basically what was happening was they had all these, you know, pagan temples in Corinth, and they would make sacrifices to these different gods that they had, and that usually involved some type of animal sacrifices, so there was meat available. And sometimes they would have feasts right in the temple. There'd be tons of leftover stuff. And a lot of times that meat would find itself in the market on sale. And apparently, this became a really huge issue. Like, some people would have no problem going and buying that meat and eating it because they weren't worshiping this idol. And other people would see that and go, man, that meat is pagan. That has been sacrificed to idols. You know, you can't do that. You don't love God. You can't be a follower of God and be partaking in something that's so pagan, like eating that meat. That was offered up to these gods, these false gods. And so it was kind of a big deal. And we look at that and we go, what today is like that? What can we take and say, okay, that is not an issue today, but what is similar to that for us? What is there that people may disagree on and have very strong views about where, you know, it's not a direct command from God? I think one of the biggest ones that you can think about may have to do with, you know, partaking of alcohol. It's very clear in New Testament that, you know, Jesus turned water into wine. That was not Kool-Aid. Okay, that was wine. People at this time drank wine because grape juice would ferment, and so that's just how it was. And so there's been attempts to look at the Bible and say, oh, you know, no, that wasn't real wine, you know. And we don't know how strong it was, but the point is that the Bible does not say specifically you cannot take a drink of alcohol. It doesn't say that anywhere. Now, there are plenty of warnings and recommendations about being careful, obviously not to be drunk with wine is in there. But this is one of those issues. I know very godly people on both sides of this. I know godly people say, you know, I don't see how you can do that. And I know other people that say, it's not a problem for me. I can have a glass of wine with meal. I can have, you know, a beer with, you know, a burger or something, and that's it. I don't get drunk. It doesn't bother me. It's not a problem, you know, and I'm free to do that biblically. You know what? They're right. They're right. Other issues maybe like that. Maybe, you know, entertainment choices. Some people say, oh, how could you, you know, how could you go to, you know, this such and such a movie? And the other person says, well, because, you know, I don't have a problem. It doesn't affect, I don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of things like that. And when you begin to think about, and it can be very confusing. And I think if we're not careful, a lot of judgment comes out of that. Paul starts out and he talks about knowledge versus love. And he says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 8, now about food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, and from whom all things come, and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do eat. Now here's the deal. Let's just pause for a moment, and I got to go fast, but one of the revolutionary things about the New Testament that I think we so often miss is how much the Bible talks about loving each other in a sacrificial way, because that is how God demonstrated his love to us. Okay? It is difficult because we are continually fighting for our rights. That's kind of how it is, and I don't know if that's a part of American culture and whatever, but we are very much in touch with my own personal rights. How dare you infringe upon my personal rights? I can do whatever I want to do. And we can tend to take that and run with it. And, of course, as we said, we have freedom in Christ. But Paul brings another dimension in to this discussion, all right? He talks about love. He says knowledge puffs up. That's the group that says, you know, I'm very theologically aware. I'm a student of the Bible. I know all this stuff. And, you know, I don't have a problem. He says be careful, because that knowledge can give you pride. And he says, love builds up each other. And I have just been struck by over and over how the New Testament talks about loving each other and loving one another and caring for one another within the body of Christ. And, you know, basically the bottom line of this text tonight is when Paul says in verse 9, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you have this knowledge, eating at an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother, listen to what Paul says. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. That's interesting. That's a powerful statement that he makes. And, you know, I don't know that we can fully appreciate that. I know we can't fully appreciate that without a perspective of Christ in our life. So what is he saying? Here's the deal. Are you at a place where you because of the difference that God has made in your life. That you actually realize that far more important than what you eat and what you drink and, you know, what you do is someone else coming to Christ, someone else growing closer to God in your life. That's what he's talking about. He's saying that basically, yeah, I can do a lot of things, but I am very sensitive and I'm very concerned of what me doing those things, the effect that that may have on other people. And I think this is the biggest thing, because I'll be honest with you, you know, going back to the debate over alcohol, you guys know that I grew up with an alcoholic father, so I'm very strongly opinionated about the dangers of alcohol. But like we said, the Bible doesn't say you can't have a drink responsibly. But wait a minute. What if in me doing that, it brings somebody else down? Maybe they're not at a place where they can handle that kind of thing. Maybe for them it's a real battle. Maybe for them they're searching, and to be brought into a context, well, you know, he's drinking, so I guess it's okay for me to drink, and, you know, and then there we go. And, you know, in addition to this, I think we all realize the dangers associated with, you know, the party scene and people going to so much excess, which that's what it's about today. It's about getting drunk. It's about excess. And so there's some real dangers there. I want to just give you a couple points to remember tonight from this text, a couple things. First of all, like I said, this explanation that he's giving is in the context of love for each other. There's no way to understand it. There's no way to process it. There's no way to really have this in your life if you do not have compassion for one another that comes through relationship with God. It won't make sense. And it just, you know, our attitude is, why in the world should I care? Why should I limit myself in any way because of where someone else is? And if you don't have Christ in your life and you don't have that compassion, that love, it won't make sense to you. And for that matter, neither will this subject of freedom, to be honest with you. I mean, if we're free, why would we limit ourselves? Well, because we're in a love relationship with God, and we want to live a life pleasing to Him. You know what I mean? And so that's why we would do that. It's more of what I want to do in pleasing Him. Another point to consider is, what is the complete teaching of Scripture about the topic? And kind of what we've, you know, and Merge talked about a while back, is it wise for me to do something, you know, that may be one of these gray areas? Is it wise? I had a young person tell me a story a while back. They had gone to a different church as several years ago before coming here, and had a youth pastor that was very influential in their life. And this guy stopped by to see him, see his youth pastor one day, kind of out of the blue, the guy was having a party at his house. And a student went in and was kind of shocked to see, you know, alcohol all over the place. And to kind of get a sense that this former youth pastor of his was kind of buzzed a little bit. And he talked to me just about how he felt about that, you know, and how that kind of affected him as a you know, young man, you know, trying to get a grasp on Christianity and how to live his life. And that was kind of a reminder to me, you know, man, the impact that our actions have on other people, not to mention ourselves, is can be pretty big at times. Some of you may think, well, you know, I still don't see the big deal about some of these areas. And, you know, basically, the question to ask is, what is the complete teaching of Scripture on this topic? Going back to alcohol, You know, it's clear that it's not a sin for me to have a drink. But is that wise for me to do that? And I can go and look at places, you know, Proverbs 23 warns about those people that linger over wine, those people that, you know, linger over beer, basically in a party atmosphere, you know, that kind of thing. And it warns of the dangers of that. He says, in the end, it bites like a viper. And so what is the complete teaching of Scripture about that subject? If there's anything there at all, maybe there's nothing else really to go by, except, you know, kind of where you feel the Holy Spirit leading you in your conscience. Another thing I want to point out is he is not talking, and this is a key thing, he is not talking about adjusting to every person's whim or prejudice. You could hear this and go, man, does that mean that every time someone has an issue with something I'm doing that I can't do that? No, that's not what he's saying. Inherent in this context is what he uses the phrase, a weaker brother. This is someone who's new in the faith. This is someone who's, you know, just trying to figure things out. And your actions speak volumes to them about what it means to live for Christ. And so, you know, my goodness, people have all kinds of opinions about some of these areas that are not based in Scripture, you know. And so I have to make a decision in my life, who will be affected by what I'm doing, you know. You could throw in there movies. Do I just go see whatever movie comes out? No, I don't. I don't do that. There's a lot of pretty messed up movies out there. You know that. And I just don't want to be bringing my mind down, but also don't want to, you know, indicate to others, hey, no big deal. No problem. And maybe in some way they would be brought down by that in some way. There's a lot of different areas where this comes into play. And bottom line is, I think, is what he says in verse 13. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again. I mean, that's powerful. And if you take nothing else away from what we've talked about tonight, I want you to take away from this the way in which he loved and cared about the other people in his life. The brothers and sisters in Christ, the other people in his life. Paul was saying, you know what? It's stupid. It's meat. Who cares? But if that's going to bring somebody down to the point where they may fall into trouble, I don't need to do that. Just a food item. I don't need to do that. And what convicted me most about that, I think, is selfishness. That, man, I'm so interested in me and what I can do. So many times I forget about other people in my life and what my life says to them, what my testimony says to them. And, man, it's amazing to think about that community of believers and the love that they had for each other. And they were willing to make sacrifices for each other because they cared about each other. And so as we kind of wrap this up tonight, what about your life? Are there areas that, you know, maybe the Bible's not real clear about that. But what about the bigger picture of what impact that may have on somebody else? What does your life story tell people about the God that you serve? What does your life story tell people about Jesus Christ? Is it always a self-centered kind of existence? Are you always fighting for your rights? Or is there something in there that says, you mean more to me than even my freedom? Your faith, your walk with God is more important to me than some little thing that I could do or not do. And so I want to challenge you with that tonight. I know that I didn't answer a lot of questions about specifics. You know, I didn't list off what about this and what about that? People ask me all the time, well, you know, is it wrong for me to spend the night at my girlfriend's house if we're not sleeping together? I mean, it's just convenient. I'm just staying the night. You know, again, all of these areas of stuff like this. And we really need to look at Scripture, you know, and see what Scripture says about this. You know, of course, Ephesians 5 says, basically, did not let there be even a hint of sexual immorality. So you take that into consideration. And then you take into consideration, what, you know, could this affect someone else? Just the fact that they know that I did this or I'm doing that, you know. It may not seem like a big deal, but again, what about my brothers and sisters? How will that affect them? Going out, you know, having a beer in public. Well, maybe that affects somebody. Maybe that could cause someone else to stumble. Maybe someone is trying to overcome alcoholism. That brings them down. And I think that is definitely something for us to consider. And you can probably think of many other things along those lines. But let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to just help us to process this information and kind of get a grasp, really, of this love that He's talking about here for each other and really caring about each other in a way that their faith means more to us, even maybe than momentary indulgence of something, because after all, it's their faith we're talking about. Let's pray. God, I just come to you tonight, and Lord, I don't know if what I have said tonight has been clear or cloudy or whatever, but God, I pray that in some way we would have an understanding of a difficult subject, a difficult topic, and that is, how in the world do we represent you to those around us? How do we live our lives? How do we make decisions in such a way, God, that our faith seems like freedom, and it seems like, God, just a joy to walk with you, but at the same time, keeping in mind that our testimony and our life matters. God, I thank you that this whole topic is framed in this bigger picture of love and loving each other and serving one another. And I thank you for the example that's set here. God, I think that if we could pray one thing, it would be that we would have the kind of love for each other that we would be willing to make sacrifices in our life to build up someone else, to encourage someone else, to strengthen their faith. And so, God, I just pray that you would continue to touch our hearts and work on our hearts with this matter. Lord, I pray for each person in here, God, give us wisdom as we make decisions, as we live our lives. God, I pray that we would truly know the freedom that comes in having a relationship with you and knowing you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.